Hello, and welcome to the Tech CEO Essentials Podcast. We focus on the top areas that tech CEOs need to know. I'm your host, Tom Cooper, and this podcast is sponsored by my company, Bright Hill Group, where we help leaders get more from their teams. Today's topic is sales essentials. What exactly does a tech CEO need to know about sales to grow the company? And today I've got the privilege of interviewing Landon Johnson from Talent. Landon is the founder of Talent, a sales and marketing effectiveness consulting firm. Landon's background is in management consulting, and then he also had a short stint as head of sales for a software company. And it was during that season he recognized there was this big gap between how buyers want to buy and how sellers want to sell. And closing that gap is the mission that launched Talent in 2001. And since then, Landon has worked with software and technical organizations of all sizes across the country. Landon, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It is quite a pleasure to talk about something I'm so passionate about, Tom. Thank you.
So, how would you characterize today's selling environment for tech companies?
In a word, in an easy word, I suppose, it's tough. Hmm. You look at the numbers, and there has been a fairly long now, maybe 4 going on 5 year stretch of sales cycles getting longer for sales organizations. Increased pressure on prices for their software or for their technology. And an increased competitiveness in the marketplace, right? But it's too simple just to say it's tough. It's more important to understand why it's tough and what makes it tough and what then therefore needs to happen in order to overcome this tough environment. So one of the features that I kind of latch onto about the tough environment and how I characterize the selling environment, I suppose you should say, is really by looking at not so much what's going on within sales, but what's going on within the buying environment. The buyers have really changed their patterns and their behaviors these days and are acting very differently than they have, let's say, 5 years ago. I can point to a couple examples of this, and anybody out there that's in technology sales, this will resonate with them. Buyers have a high level of expectation these days about how they're being sold to, right? So buyers have an expectation that when they engage with a sales professional, that they're going to be taught something, that sales professional is going to come to them with a different way to think about their problem or the industry. And that puts real pressure on the sales professional to come with a message that is not only impactful and colorfully worded, but more importantly, that's intelligent and helps to inform the buyer on the other side of the table. And also, there's the increased expectation of this business impact, Tom. ROI is, I guess, the term that many people use, but sometimes that's even too simple. Sales today, a significant sale today requires that a business impact can be pointed to, and in a timely fashion, right? This isn't an ambiguous 18 months down the road. This is a fairly near term, a couple months down the road. What is the business impact going to be? How is this purchase going to save me time, save me money, make me money? So sales organizations, the tough aspect of today's selling environment is really colored by how buyers have changed their behaviors.
So you keyed on something there. I mean, even from the very beginning, you said that buyers' expectations are that the salesman is going to be a teacher.
Yeah.
So now does that mean that the salesman has to begin to understand not only the products and services that he's selling, but the business of the buyer?
More so than ever. And here's what that looks like in the marketplace. I can't tell you how many VPs of sales that I speak with who say, my sales representatives struggle to sell and speak to the business leaders, the decision makers on the other side of the table. And the reason that they will point to is, the decision makers now are at a high level because decisions have to be pushed up the chain, and ultimate decision making is done at a high level, if not at the C level in the buying organization. And the common refrain out there is I have a number of sales professionals parading through my office, and they're all saying the same thing. How are you different? Hmm. And by the way, that's a really difficult thing to react to. So one of the things that I work with my sales organizations on is let's not go in with the same messages and then try to differentiate. Let's try to go in with commercial teachings and a different way to think about the problem, so that we're coming in an educational way. That seems to help right off the bat set us apart, set the selling organization apart as they're going in trying to help the client think about their problem or think about a solution to their problem in a slightly different way.
So then you're really, from a sales perspective, your sales messaging has to be targeted specifically at the consumer, not even just a market segment, but really to say, okay, when I'm selling my software to this accounting firm, here's how the accounting firm is going to use it, which may be different from the way that same software might be used by a law firm.
Yeah. And you know what? It might even go one level deeper. It almost has to be targeted to the particular decision maker that you are speaking to. Because even to use your example within the accounting firm, if you're speaking to a partner within the firm, that person's going to have a different set of priorities and a different set of problems that they're trying to solve versus that partner versus perhaps the head of IT within the organization, who is also a potential buyer for a software or a technology solution. The head of IT is going to have an entirely different set of priorities. So while it's within the same accounting firm, who are all, presumably pulling in the same direction, the messaging has to even be tailored to the person who you are actually interfacing with within the organization.
So how in the world do the salespeople find out what the buyer cares about?
Yeah. Well, the savvy organizations today are spending a lot less time and energy and investment on their sales training, their sales process, and a lot more time and investment trying to understand their buyers and the industry. And this can look like this can take the form of training within the organization. This can take the form of how they are messaging and what their collateral looks like and what their website looks and feels like, and even what type of people that they are hiring. I've seen more industry hires coming into sales organizations primarily in order to really capture that real essence of what's going on within the industry and within that role. And these people can often do very well in sales roles just because of their intimate understanding of the challenges that are being faced by the person that they're selling to.
So that's really interesting. Now you're talking about sort of selling by the non-salesperson. Right?
Yes, I guess in a way, the non-traditional sales professional now looks like an industry expert, and I guess on the other side of the table, the traditional sales professional is being pushed ever more so to really understand in a deep fashion the industry that they are selling into. It's an important evolution in the process, and it's largely shaped by the fact that a lot of power now sits on the buying side of the table, and a lot of information is available to the buyer. So they now have the ability to compare and do their own research, and really to set yourself apart as a sales organization, the ability to go in and have that intelligent educational conversation with your potential client can be a powerful differentiator.
That's really interesting. I mean, I think it really puts a lot more pressure on the sales team to be not only skilled in their space, but skilled in my space as the buyer, and be able to offer me a consultative kind of experience.
Yeah, this is true. The reality of it is, when I speak with my CEOs in particular of technology companies, right, that one of the challenges that they oftentimes face that they share with me is that, Landon, I don't know what tools I have available to me in order to influence my sales organization, to help them continuously improve, to optimize my sales organization. And my counsel back to them is do what you do everywhere else in the organization. Right? The CEO's role oftentimes is what I call the chief prioritizer. Right? They may not be an expert in finance and accounting, but they sure can't come to that organization and say, here's what the priorities are for the organization, or at least with a few questions, get down to the priorities. Same thing kind of in many other areas of the organization. When it comes to sales, for some reason, many CEOs, in my observation, feel like they only have one tool, and it's the hammer. Right? It's coming at their sales organization with lightly veiled, if at all veiled, threats of we need to make this quarterly number or big problems occur, right? That's one tool. And for some CEOs, that's their only tool. Well, if they assume the role of the chief prioritizer, what they'll come to appreciate is there's really three axes, if you will, that their sales organization will operate on. Number one, it's how well do we know our own solution? You shouldn't just assume that since they've worked in the company for some number of months or years that this, every sales professional is intimately familiar with their own solution, what it is that they're selling.
Sure.
Constant education along those lines is important, and updates and refreshers. Okay, that's axis number one, is how well they know their own solution. The second axis is the industry, how well they know the industry. And the industry is constantly evolving, and you know, this deeper understanding that we've been talking about adds additional pressure and kind of turns the volume up on that particular axis. And then the third axis is sales skills, is the craft skills of sales. Typically, this is the area that gets the most attention. How do we bring in exceptional sales professionals who have performed at other organizations? How do we train our sales reps? How do we bring in, you know, specific sales tools and sales processes? To focus just in that one area and neglect the solution education and industry education is not looking at it as an entire system. So the really savvy CEO looks at a sales organization and is constantly evaluating along these three axes, industry, solution, sales skill, where do we need the most help? What is the biggest barrier or obstacle between us and the next level of performance? And if you start to appreciate that, you realize it's this whole system of education and constant optimization. Sales starts to look like every other corner of the organization, which requires constant attention and systemic feeding and education and elevating as a system. So with just good questions and probing and constant evaluation, the CEO can look to a sales organization instead of just carrying a hammer. He can be armed with his series of questions and evaluations that help him guide the sales leaders to say, here's where we need to get better. In fact, I've got a template and I guess a short form questionnaire in each of these three areas that I regularly offer up to my tech CEOs to help them probe in these areas. And I'm happy to help make that available if you think that's helpful.
Oh, thanks. I think that'd be fantastic. I mean, I think a lot of times we don't know what we don't know. And just looking at this, as you describe it, it makes sense. But it's just that's the way everything is, right? Until you've analyzed the problem and come up with the framework, you know, it seems vexing. And then you see the framework and you say, oh, that's not hard. But but crafting the solution is the hard work, right?
Yes.
So that'd be great. I'm sure that folks would want to be able to get access to that. And this is going to help them be able to kind of break down those three axes and assess where they are.
Great. Happy to make it available.
Oh, good deal. Good deal. So, yeah, now it sounds to me like really what you're saying is that the CEO's role in sales is I think what you're saying is it's exactly the same as it is for every other component of the business, that they're supposed to help drive what's happening in that space.
Yes. Yes. And especially, I think, with technology companies, it's a stretch for that technology CEO. Oftentimes, they've come up through the technology, mm-hmm. And rarely have they come up through sales to achieve the top spot in the technology organization. So, you know, the view toward sales is one of a bit of lack of understanding, lack of experience, and then therefore, you know, they feel constrained in what they have in the levers that they have available to them to impact sales. Obviously, sales is an important part of the organization. But the common reaction that I found from my technology CEOs is when things get tough, you know, that tough selling environment we were talking about before, there's a reaction to say, well, let's buckle down and work harder at sales.
Right.
But in reality, first of all, there's more levers to be to play with. There's the industry, the solution, in addition to the sales skills. But also, sometimes just buckling down and working harder can have a negative effect.
So one thing I didn't hear you mention in that framework, and maybe it's a sub-component of one of those axes, is relationship building. How do you characterize relationship building as a component of the successful sales process?
So, and this is one of the primary areas where the buying process has changed. It wasn't too long ago, 5-7 years ago, where relationships were one of the were the most important component of making a complex, significant sale, large sale. You need the relationship in order to get the audience. You need the relationship in order to help facilitate the decision making. Without that relationship, the sale didn't happen. Here's how things have changed. The relationship, still important. The relationship can indeed get you an audience, and certainly help to facilitate that conversation. However, a relationship is not enough anymore. And in fact, it can sometimes be a detriment if the relationship is not used well. And I'll explain what I mean. So the relationship can get you an audience, but if that audience is not, if that meeting is not, if you don't make the most of that meeting, you run the risk of diluting the value of your solution, diluting the value of the brand that you're bringing to the table. Okay. The flip side of that is, gaining the reputation that that your solution, that your technology, that the way you approach the market is very intelligent, has real business impact, and ticks some of these other boxes that we've talked about previously in our conversation. Mm-hmm. Gaining that reputation and building your brand around that can also gain you the audience without the direct personal reputation. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, before any decision is made, and we touched on this briefly before, but before any decision is made these days, there has to be the full evaluation and let's call it due diligence, because that's what it ends up looking like, that this decision, this purchase has to be made now and not in 6 months from now or in 1 year from now. And when it's made now, that here is going to be the very distinct and tangible business impact. And again, it's got to be saving time, saving money, helping us make money, one of those three things. And then the final determination is that this solution that we're talking about purchasing is better than the others. So, that can look like increased competition, putting decisions out to bid even after the opportunity's been raised by one company. This really adds a lot of complexity to the selling process.
Wow, that's good stuff. I mean, I think there are more layers to it than we think about. Generally, I've got a good product. You should like my product. Come buy my product. And it's really more complex than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is more complex than that. The relationship. I'll add one more thing to the relationship, and this may shed some light on what some firm, what some organizations are facing out there. If all you have is a relationship, and you're not able to engage and on the level that we talked about before in an intelligent manner with your clients, what you'll experience is you'll be able to get the meeting with the decision maker. Mm-hmm. And that meeting will likely go well and will likely feel good. They will share with you some of their challenges, and you will feel like you have a solution to their challenge. And there'll be that feel-good component, post the meeting. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be a lot of silence, right? They may not even return the call, or if they return the call, you will feel like the decision is slipping into this kind of a gray zone or this black hole of really there is no decision to be made. Mm-hmm. Even if you can point to a big problem that they have, you may also find that they say, you know what, you bring up good points, but I've got to put this out to bid. And by the way, there's another solution out there that's slightly less expensive or that has some additional features that benefit us better. The relationship can certainly get you in the door and might even open up an opportunity, but the ability for you to set yourself up uniquely to solve that solution, that is really where the distinction is made, and that's where sales are made ultimately at the end of the day in today's selling environment.
Oh, interesting. That's really good insights, and I certainly have observed similar things in my career looking at sales processes, and have seen salespeople who are totally baffled. Hey, it was a good meeting. I don't know why this has gone dead or gone dark. I can't believe time is flying with this conversation. I appreciate that so much. On a last note, what's a powerful piece of advice you can offer a tech CEO today in the area of sales?
Advice. So when I have the unique and wonderful opportunity to whisper in my tech CEO's ear, I tell them two things. One of which I've already touched upon, which is appreciating sales as a differentiator. The Sales Executive Council, which is a division of the Corporate Executive Board, did a really interesting study not too long ago, within the last year, about what customers believe contributes to their loyalty. So this is a survey done on the customer side. They were given a number of categories. What contributes to your loyalty to your technology vendor? And surprisingly, a small sliver of it was relationship. A small sliver of it was support. A small sliver of it was the product and how well it performed. And a much larger component, and I think it was three-fifths of the response, was weighted on the sales experience. So these are customers saying that I am loyal to my vendors because of the experience that I've had through the sales process.
Wow.
That alone should be, and that's from the Sales Executive Council, just done over the past year, that alone should be enlightening for sales leaders and technology CEOs to say, if you're not looking at sales as a way not just to fuel the organization, but to differentiate yourself in the marketplace, then you might be underserving yourself. So number one is to appreciate sales not only as a way to fuel the organization, but as a real differentiator in the marketplace. And then number two, I guess, is more of a blocking and tackling one, is really to seek transparency throughout your sales operation. Many of these sales organizations, when I first step into them, they really suffer. The tech CEO in particular suffers from a lack of transparency. So they're unable to get a real crisp understanding of their sales pipeline and where they are to quota and other key and important metrics, right? And this is kind of a diligence and a discipline that they wouldn't suffer, I suppose, in any other corner of their organization. You can imagine a CEO, if they went to their CFO and said, can you pull a balance sheet for me? And he said, well, I could, but my assets and liabilities really aren't up to date right now, and I'm not sure when they will be. Or worse yet, can you pull a P&L? I can, but I don't have a ton of confidence in our expense line. But here's the P&L. We laugh because it would be it would be unthinkable, and yet I see many organizations that kind of allow this type of ambiguity or lack of precision in their sales operations, in their sales pipeline, in their sales forecasts. So the other thing I whisper in my tech CEO's ear is really seek transparency and seek precision in the sales operations.
Wow, that's powerful, and I think it's so. I mean, I'm literally laughing because I've been in organizations where those kinds of conversations. I've had clients where those kinds of conversations would happen around the sales cycle, and you think, wow, that's astonishing. But it's real. It's where things are, and I think that's really fantastic. That alone could be worth the price of admission, right? Folks get a lot of value from that.
Perfect.
So, Landon, I appreciate your help so much with this, and I will make sure that we get that template, your questionnaire, up on the website as well. If folks want to get in touch with you, Landon, where is a great place for them to reach you?
Landon.Johnson@talent.com, and that is TALANT.com. I'm happy to answer any questions, field any conversations. This is a topic I'm passionate about.
I can tell. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. For our listeners, join us next time for more Tech CEO Essentials. We've got other really great topics coming up: people, communications, accounting, legal, even more stuff. It's going to be fantastic. For Brighthoop Group, this is Tom Cooper signing off.